The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Good afternoon. We are in the middle of the week. It was just a week ago as we came to you from Hoover, Alabama, that the bombshell that we're still choking about, sorry about that, went off. And we're still here trying to figure out what is going on. Let's get to the program. And how about this? I never thought I'd see this day. I can hardly talk. Sorry about that. I just tried to gobble some water down, and I swallowed the bottle instead of the water. The Gators and UCF agree to a three-game deal. Remember, this was a big issue a couple of years ago when UCF had a different athletic director. He got into a squabble with Scott Strickland. That athletic director has now moved on to the University of Tennessee, and looks like they've got everything worked out. David Shaw, I don't know if he'll be welcome at Nick Saban's house anytime soon. He had a few choice comments yesterday about Bryce Young. Now, in fairness, he did the requisite. Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time, and we would, and none of us could ever hope to equal him. But this is what he said.
First of all, Nick Saban is smarter than any 10 of us in this room combined. And so there's no way that that wasn't just a throw in, is obvious to me. Nick wanted to plant that and make sure people knew that. It's a great way to recruit people to come to you, which the guy hasn't started a college football game and he's already signed a whole bunch of deals to make money. To me, I don't think that's what this whole thing is supposed to be about. I don't believe that that is true market value. I think that's Alabama value.
What does that mean, Alabama? And by the way, I happen to think David Shaw is one of the smartest coaches in the country, however what kind of math you want to use. But I think David Shaw must have missed Deion Sanders' admonition last week that you're not supposed to call him Nick. Come on, David. You need to call that man the same thing we all call him, Coach Saban. So come on, get with the program. Quit calling him Nick. How about this headline here? Are you ready for a new players association? What's going on here? Is this really happening? Possibly. And from The Athletic, Nicole Auerbach and Stuart Mandel. This is interesting. The athletic director, excuse me, the commissioner of the Pac-12, Mr. Kliakoff, is suggesting in a roundabout way that because the commissioner of the SEC is on the CFP steering committee and may have also been driving this bus for expansion, although that is not exactly the way the league puts it down, that maybe the CFP expansion will have to take a pause. Now again, this is a story to be digested and discussed, and we will talk to Nicole Auerbach later in the program. We'll talk to Dean Blevins. You Oklahoma fans know who he is. He's a sports director out there in OKC. He does the Lincoln Riley show. Oh, Jim Ross, legendary announcer for wrestling and one of the biggest OU fans. We'll get the take on him. Jim Donnan, the former Georgia coach. But what you may not know is that he was once the offensive coordinator under Barry Switzer at OU, and Nicole Auerbach will join us as well. And I have to say, I realize every one of you can't listen or watch the entire 4 hours. But if you ever missed a call that you need to hear again, it was this one yesterday from Will in Austin, Texas.
You know, I'm here in Austin. We get a lot of transplants, and those transplants are sure liking, you know, reaching out and saying things like, this isn't going to be Texas running the show. Texas is just going to be one of many. They won't be the alpha dog. And I still think Texas is going to have, maybe they don't get multiple seats at the table, but I still think they sit at the head of the table in the SEC. I think SEC runs through Austin now. And
okay. haven't even been voted in the league yet, and Will's already talking about how the SEC runs through Austin. Let's talk to Jim in North Carolina. Hello, Jim. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
I was just calling. Will helped me out a lot yesterday. For years, I'd wondered all the disdain for Texas, and now I understand.
Didn't take long, did it?
No, my goodness. You know, if that's their attitude, Florida better watch out. Texas might be become the most school to dislike in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't think that will be a tough competition, primarily because you already have so many. The day that Texas officially joins the SEC, there's going to be a battle royale between Missouri, Arkansas, and Texas A&M to see which one of them will hate Texas the most.
Well, it was just kind of amusing to me that said they're going to get two chairs at the table.
Well, yeah, I can't wait for them to tell Saban, hey, man, you need to go to the back of the room. You're no longer the alpha dog in this coach's room.
Do you think at the University of Texas, they have crash courses in humility?
No, listen, humility is not a word in the lexicon of the University of Texas.
Well, this is going to be fun then, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's great. Yeah, and I don't want to continue this conversation, too. I don't want to do anything to discourage Texas from coming into the SEC because, you know, we're trying to make a living here on this program, and Texas has just given us life security.
Well, yeah, you need to send a check to Will.
Oh, I've been calling out to Austin all day where I can make a contribution to the Texas Alumni Fund. I want in.
Maybe a direct line for Will. That might be a suggestion.
Will ought to be entitled to the private line that that former guy claims is the ticket into this program. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Hugh is also in North Carolina. Hey, Hugh.
I've been calling out to Austin all day where I can make a contribution to.
Hugh, are you there?
Maybe a direct line.
Hey, let's just be patient here. It's been a while since Hugh's been on the program. He forgot how this works. Hello, Hugh. We're going to give you about five more seconds since you're a longtime caller of the show. Four. Three.
Lock it up, Hugh.
Two.
Hello.
Hello, Hugh. How are you?
Hello.
I knew if I could slow walk that, we'd get you on.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Paul, I'm absolutely thrilled with the events that are going on. I just think getting back with strong geographical proximity to the teams that you have in your side of the division is going to be wonderful. I do have an issue with the quad deal.
Okay.
I think we're better off just to leave each side being what they are. But there needs to be a crossover from each side based on traditional games. Alabama needs to play LSU every year. And if you go down that list and make your eighth game a fixed game against the other side, it could be like Georgia faces Texas every year, Florida with Oklahoma every year, and maybe Auburn with Texas A&M every year. I would put Kentucky and Missouri together every year and then have a ninth game to be a rotary deal where you play at least one of the other six teams every 6 years.
Yeah, Hugh, that's the one thing we really don't know yet in relation to what it's going to look like. Every suggestion I've heard has significant merit. But why do you think this is such a good thing?
I think it's a great thing because you're realigning some 50-year-old battlegrounds for teams like Arkansas and Missouri with Texas and Oklahoma and State. And it really kind of rolls the Southeastern Conference back to its charter days with Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee and Kentucky playing each other every year in Georgia. That just makes good sense to me. I think it's a wonderful deal. I'd love to see Tennessee play Ole Miss every year for obvious reasons. And I think Vanderbilt and Arkansas would be a good annual game for the simple reason they have the same recruiting base. I just think that the numbers fit, Paul. I really do. By the way, there was one other team that lost a whole season, but it wasn't the NCAA and it wasn't football. The Southeastern Conference blackballed Kentucky basketball in 1953. They never played a game.
I am sorry.
That was a conference rule because the NCAA didn't have enough gonads to make anything stick. But the conference did, and Cliff Hagan and Ramsey and Chiropolis practiced against the freshmen all of 1953. And then in 1954, when they beat everybody by 50 points in the Southeastern Conference, because three of them graduated in December, the NCAA said they weren't eligible to play in the tournament.
Well, I'm glad we could clear that one up, Hugh. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We got our first gonads reference of the day. Look that one up, you Longhorn fans. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And local legend Dean Blevins joins us in a few minutes from Norman. Played at the University of Oklahoma, great athlete in his youth, and one of the most respected sportscasters in that state, and the host of the Lincoln Riley Show will join us in a couple of minutes. Bob is in Fort Worth, and you are on the air. Bob, you there?
Hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul. Hey, this is Bob. Hey, I was listening. It's good thing I couldn't get through yesterday because I was so mad I could have bit a 10-penny nail in half. This cat Will, and y'all are making fun of him and acting like he's some kind of goofball. Let me tell you something. That's not goofball. That's how them folks down there, that's how them folks in Austin feel. And I just want to let everybody know.
Hey, Bob, I've never lived in Texas, so I don't understand that like you do. Can you explain to those of us foreigners what makes the University of Texas fans so special?
Because they're in Austin and they're entitled, and they don't do anything but sit around and sip tea all day long. I mean, we're not talking. And Paul, I live this. I went all my life. I've had to listen to this stuff. And my son was in school there, at A&M when they come to the SEC. A&M's been trying to get away from Texas University for 100 years. And now here they come again. And I wouldn't be so sure on you know, it's all got to come to a vote. And I'm just not so sure that you're going to – everybody thinks this is a lockdown deal. But I can think of three schools right off the top of my head that left a conference to get away from these yahoos. And then you take another school – like a Vanderbilt, or like y'all was talking about yesterday, when the weak just get weaker, you take another one of them middle level, lower level schools, and this might not happen.
Well, Bob, thank you for the call. I normally try to stay as neutral as I can on issues like this, but please let Texas come in this league. This is too good to be true. John is in Texas. You're on the air. Hey, John, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, Bob, thank you for the call. I should have said this earlier. If you're new to the show, which I assume a few people are, and you're on the phone, just pay attention to the phone, because the television or the radio is going to be way behind what you are actually hearing. So, you're good right there.
Yeah.
So John, you're live. Just disregard what you were listening to a minute ago.
I got you. I just want to thank you, Paul, for giving me a chance to say the other side of the story as far as Texas goes. I've been watching your show trying to acclimate for 3 days. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And I know that Will is good for your show, but I want you to know Will is not the majority of the Texas fan base. Most people I run into, like Will, don't even know the rules of football. The SEC, you know, you had to be blind to see that they're not the premium, and they've been the premium league ever since I can remember. I'm just as jealous of it as I can possibly be. I hope that all this talk don't scare people off from voting, but I just wanted the fan base to know that Will is not the average Texas fan nor the Aggie that called in just a while ago. Thank you for listening to me.
Well, thank you very much. It is great to hear that. I was concerned for a moment. Thomas is up next. Thomas is in Alabama here. Hey, Thomas.
Hey.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Paul. I'm here with two girls that graduated from Tennessee. I graduated from Auburn.
Wow.
And all I want to say is that the people from Alabama University need to step up and get the vaccine, because everybody in Auburn has. That's why it's at 30%. But Alabama fans won't get the vaccine. What's wrong with those people?
Well,
hold on.
I want to make sure I understand this, Thomas. You're saying, you know, you're an Auburn fan. Is that correct?
I graduated from Auburn.
Okay.
And I've got two girls here that graduated from Tennessee.
Now, what makes you think
we've all been vaccinated?
Well, but I'm not trying to go tit for tat here, but I will just make this point that Nick Saban, the University of Alabama coach, has not only done a public service announcement for the vaccine, but he has said it a couple of times. Your coach has been very quiet on that issue.
Nick Saban has not done enough. Meemaw has stood up
and
said,
Thomas, hold on a second, Thomas. If Nick Saban has not done enough, what has Brian Harsin done, the Auburn coach?
He's brand new to Alabama.
I read an article about his refusal to get involved on that issue. Now, I didn't have a chance to talk to him about it last week, because I wanted to talk about who he was. But there was an article in Birmingham Friday, I believe, that said he was very evasive on the vaccine. The only reason I bring that out is that you're accusing Alabama, but you know, maybe you should ask your own coach.
Nick Saban needs to step up and demand that everybody who's an Alabama fan get a vaccine.
Well, I think he already has. Listen, I don't mind you saying that, Thomas. I appreciate the call, but I'm just trying to be fair to the – I don't know. I mean, I spent 4 days in Alabama last week. I know the vaccination rate's about 34%. So I have no earthly idea, you know, which school has taken the vaccine and which hasn't. I know that Saban said his team is about 80 or 90%, and Brian Harsin said his team is significantly less. So I think you're throwing the stones at the wrong school, though, if I could be so blunt. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Dean Blevins, the voice of Oklahoma, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Really looking forward to getting rid of this cough. Really looking forward to talking to Dean Blevins. For those who go way back, he was a great athlete in the state of Oklahoma in a number of sports, especially football and basketball. He played at the university on a couple of national championship and I guess it was Big Eight championships, and has gone on to a legendary career doing so much in the media, most notable in the Oklahoma City market on television, and also the host of the weekly Bob Stoops and now Lincoln Riley Show. Dean, I feel like I know you. It's great to have you on the program, and how are you?
Paul, I'm doing very, very well. I feel like I know you, too, because I told your producer, when he called, that I would bet that I was the first Oklahoman to hear Paul Feinbaum in on radio, and been with you ever since, and have enjoyed every bit of it, maybe more of the callers than even you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think the show could do just fine without me as long as we had the callers. And, and already we've had a few from Austin, which we'll get to in a minute. But I just want to get your reaction because you're at the epicenter there of OU and Oklahoma State. And just since this news broke a week ago at about right this moment, you know, what have you heard from people? And what do you think as somebody who not only played there but has been such a part of that state's history?
Well, I was one who had said previously that Oklahoma would never join the SEC. And we can talk about a million issues, but the fact that the SEC has so many really good teams, I was concerned about the competitiveness of getting into the conference. But Bob Stoops did a terrific job, did okay against the SEC too, but Lincoln Riley has come in, and I expected him to recruit better, therefore Oklahoma improve. But, Paul, he's put together a string of quarterbacks now and into the future that are just the best in the country. And he's an offensive he's just brilliant, but he's offensively especially. And he's been able to get a defense that was kind of embarrassing when they came down and played in some of the playoff games. And I mean, I, in fact, told my Alabama pals down there that Oklahoma had no chance to play because of that. And in 2 years, Alex Grinch has turned them into a good defense, and we're going to find out how good. But they are very, very good. So my point is, worried about that competitiveness, and it still is going to be a big jump. But I have faith and know enough to say that I think Oklahoma is going to recruit much better, and the competitive part of it is going to play itself out just fine. So that was my biggest thing. I tell you, the one thing that jumped out from the beginning thing, Paul, I don't know about you, but the only thing more surprising than the story itself was the fact that both schools have done all this work the past year, but it wasn't until, as you said, 7 days ago that the story leaked out. World record, you know. We live in an era when there's as much leaking in sports as in politics, and we find out about Nick Saban maybe double bogeying number 12. He wouldn't play at Indian Hills, would he? Before he tees off on 13. We find out all these things. But it's going to be really good for Oklahoma, and I think it'll be good for the SEC.
Dean, on that subject, and I know some people have taken swings at it already, but since you're so ingrained in OU history and know the people that matter, can you give us a better understanding of what triggered OU along with Texas to finally say enough is enough with the Big 12?
Well, two things. I think Oklahoma has forward thinkers, really smart people, from coaches to Joe Castiglione to the new president, Joe Harris. And they're always, Paul, you'll remember Oklahoma jumped out there with aggressive scheduling before most people. So I think that's part of it, always looking to improve, take on tougher games, et cetera, and the ultimate respect for the SEC. But clearly, the trigger was when, not too long ago, the Big 12 contacted its TV partners, Fox, ESPN, said, hey, let's begin negotiations. And it wasn't necessarily an indifferent response from them. It was something that just turned Oklahoma and Texas off completely about the upcoming money, that it would be slashed and that moving forward it would become so much less. And it's been pretty good, but it would become so much less than the $300 million the SEC got the deal from, that it was time to really get serious. When you start talking about multi-millions, in a conference into billion-dollar deals, money talks, and they listen.
Talking to Dean Blevins, who not only played at OU, but has been just such a fixture on that scene for so long. Dean, help us with this. And I know you have a lot of friends all over college football, but we're already experiencing some things that we are unfamiliar with here. It's like dealing with a foreign entity. And what I mean by that are Texas fans. Can you give us all a primer on how to get along with the Longhorns?
Well, I get along with some individuals. I don't think I'm the guy to really ask the way you phrased that. Texas is, forget football. Everything's bigger in Texas already. And then you throw in the early success that they had there, certainly Darryl Royal. They got the train rolling, and it hasn't slowed down despite the fact that they haven't won very much recently. But I tell you, Paul, and they can be obnoxious, but not like Sooner fans can either. But theirs is more on an arrogant side. I would say that I was at the Big 12 Media Days. I was one who thought that Tom Herman would win at Texas. Texas is back type thing. But after, and I know a lot about Sarkin, I know people who know him, so I wasn't surprised. But after being down there and being around him and listening to his players talk about the fact that they now, it sounded like they didn't trust Herman. They're throwing all their trust in this guy who's coming in with rings and Nick Saban background. And they're already recruiting really well. I think Texas is going to be back very, very soon.
Dean, before you go, I would like just to kind of get a overview of this year, because, and I know it always starts with Alabama, but man, a lot of people I know love this Oklahoma team, and just going along with what you said about Lincoln Riley and his uncanny ability to recruit and develop, and you may very well have the best quarterback in the country. We know they're in the hunt, but is this the type of team that you think can win it all?
Well, the team championship teams that I played on kind of set the bar the way Alabama has done, and we had depth in the Selmans and people behind them, really good players that went on to play in the NFL. The question is going to be, OU has the talent and coaching to compete now defensively. And if they can indeed do that, and go down to the fight, get into the games against the SEC powers and play big time defense, then yeah, Oklahoma can more than hold its own, because offensively, they have a chance to just be sensational. You know, they've got the number one recruit, number one player from last year, Caleb Williams, a quarterback, behind Rattler. You need to keep your quarterback healthy, but, you know, Rattler is fantastic. And they will go, as I think, a good example of where they've been and where they will go. Paul, they've got a receiving core that was really disappointing last year, but they're coming in now with new five stars, with Jaden Hazelwood healthy after missing. He's a guy from the South down there that was fantastic. They have seven. They bring in Mike Woods from Arkansas. They've got seven or eight players that can flat out play. So if they can get protection, stay healthy, I think those guys are going to explode. I believe the defense will be very competitive. I think your people will be really stunned at the improvement. But the question, Paul, is will that defense be good enough to slow down Alabama and others to allow the offense to just outscore them?
Well, you might want to tell Lincoln Riley, if he wants a good welcome in the SEC, don't dare try to beat Alabama this year or next before you guys get over here, because that is not smart.
Lincoln's, you're awfully fair, awfully kind to him, and it's deserved. You know, I've known every coach going back to Gomer Jones and Bud Wilkinson up to Coach Switzer, Stoops, all of them. Known them all. And this guy is as good as any of them, and is as good to work with as any of them.
Well, for historians of the game, you've just mentioned a couple of the greatest of all time. So that's pretty amazing company. Dean, thanks so much. We really appreciate you coming on, and can't wait to see this these rivalries start to develop. All the best.
Thank you, Paul. Look forward to it.
You bet. Dean Blevins, who's not only, a legendary sportscaster out there, I kid you not, back in the day, he was one of the great high school players to come out of that state to head to Norman. He played in the 70s, mid to late 70s, and we are coming back much, much more, including another former Oklahoma coach, Jim Donnan, just a little bit later on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's check in with Art, who is in Texas. Good afternoon, Art.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Awesome.
Art, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, well, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Awesome. Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I just want to talk about yesterday's caller, Will. Most level-headed Texans fans I know don't share the same sentiment about his comments regarding the SEC coming through Austin. We have a profound respect for Alabama and what they've built since we faced off in the national championship game in 2009. And I want to talk about our athletic director, Christoph Conte, and our current administration, who I believe is aligned and all about winning at this moment. I want to say, had this current administration been in place during the previous realignment, I definitely think they would have looked to the SEC. In regards to our team struggling, I really think that was more on Coach Tom Herman's ability to manage games. His teams played pretty much not to lose, and I think that really caught up to the team. His teams played up or down depending on the level of competition. And with Sark coming in, I really believe that's all going to change. That's going to be a part of the past. I'm really excited about joining the SEC and the matchups outside of football and baseball.
Hey, thank you, Art. Really appreciate it. Frank is up next in Maryland. Frank, good afternoon. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate you giving me some time to talk. I'm a lifelong OU fan for pretty much all of my 52 years. And I just wanted to call and let you know that, you know, I'm really excited about OU joining. And most of the OU fans I know are excited to, you know, insert our tradition and you know, the you know, what OU brings to the SEC. I grew up actually in Louisiana and big SEC fan. This is a dream come true for me. I can't wait to, you know, to see OU at a lot of the venues and, you know, get competing. I think it's a great thing. The only issue is I feel kind of dirty bringing Texas along.
Really?
It's, yeah, because, you know, they say, oh, well, there's a lot of hatred for Texas. Well, you know, the fact that OU's working so closely with Texas, the leadership, I guess they have to be civil. But, yeah, feel kind of dirty bringing them along. I saw, you know, the first time I watched your show was yesterday, and I heard the call from Austin that you talked about a lot. And, you know, as soon as I heard it, I said, and there it is. Now, you know, this is a complete microcosm of the issue of what Texas has done to every league it's been into. And I'm really happy, and I don't think they're going to do it to the SEC. I think the SEC is going to basically tell them to pound salt, but you know, it doesn't represent all Texas fans, but it does represent the loud majority, the people you hear. They're the loudest majority or minority, let's say. And, you know, that's what we get. They're entitled. They regularly do basically the least with the most. You know, OU's a lot different. OU works really hard. They coach up. They do a lot. It's just a different, you know, mindset and culture. And I think our culture fits a lot better. But, you know, I'm kind of with you. I'm ready to see, you know, Texas get its butt run through a lot of those venues and see how it rolls. But, you know, anyway, I appreciate you letting letting me speak.
Really nice of you to call. Mike is up next in Kentucky. Mike, you're on. Go right ahead. Mike, you there? I feel like this is the first day of class and everybody's learning how to accommodate. Pat is up next. Hey, Pat, go right ahead. I think you know the drill.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Pat, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed listening to Dean Blevins. I thought that was very interesting, his take on Oklahoma and also Texas. I think Nick Saban knew exactly what he was doing when he made that comment, and there's no doubt in my mind he was recruiting. And that's the quintessential Nick Saban, and that's why he's so successful in recruiting and in Alabama. I'd like to talk about the realignment for a minute. I would like to see Alabama and Auburn go to the east and Missouri go to the west and have 8 teams in each division. When the affirmative vote is taken, and I'm going to assume that they will be admitted, is that an if-then situation in your mind? If you vote to affirm the 2 teams coming in, then this is what the realignment is going to look like?
First of all, Pat, I don't think one necessary equals two. And let me say, without any inside information, just my understanding of the mechanics, I don't think we'd be having a vote if it were not preordained that it was going to pass.
Well, absolutely. And I've already given Greg Sankey credit for that, as you have too, but the vote still has to be taken, and weak minds could be changed.
I mean, I think there is a chance. I mean, there's always that possibility of the dissent for Texas A&M, just to be on the record. Although, I don't think that's going to happen based on the statements that came out Saturday. I think Texas A&M understands that, you know, they had their day, which was last Wednesday, and tomorrow is another day. We have to run to a break. More to come. A lot to do in the next 3 hours, and we hope you'll stick around.